And we start the week on Culture File getting just a little misty about the change of season. Paddy Woodworth's selection of his latest volume for the Naturalist Bookshelf is one that it took him several years to finish, never mind appreciate. But for every book there is a season, as we discover as Paddy Woodworth offers an apology to Greenery, Journeys in Springtime by Tim Dee.
Tim Dee's book, Greenery, Journeys in Springtime, at first delighted me. Then it irritated and even bored me, to the point where I abandoned it about 50 pages in. Now, I felt bad about this, both because the delights I had experienced felt authentic, and more so because it had arrived on my doorstep as a generous gift from the poet Mark Roper, whose works on Waterford landscapes have featured on this programme. Roper, in prose and poetry, writes sparingly, carefully, clearly, though often bursting into lyrical flight. How could he admire, I wondered, a book that seemed so overwritten, so overwrought, so over everything, and so often? I never had the heart to ask him. Then I met another fellow birdwatcher and fellow writer, the falconer Hilary Adam White. While we were looking for, appropriately enough given the book's subject, migrating terns massing on Sandyman Strand, he told me that he had read Greenery with great pleasure. So, 2 years later, I returned to it, hoping to be proved wrong. At first, I was proved right. Delight, then irritation, then boredom. But I kept going. And how glad I am I did. Dee's rich, reeling prose finally seduced me into happy submission to its numerous non-sequiturs, to its periodically outrageous excess of detail. Dee, a former BBC radio producer, created this sprawling memoir out of his pursuit of spring fauna and flora, and very especially of birds, in countries across Europe and Africa, over 50 years. Seen, as I see it now, as a whole, it's a passionate and often forensic exploration of the idea of spring itself, of our joyous celebration of renewal and fresh life. But it also examines, even more forensically, how such a pursuit is shadowed by the knowledge that each individual spring fades and dies, and we as individuals become closer to our own decline with each spring we celebrate and then lose. This grand theme of clashing joy and despair at spring's tricky mixture of memory and desire has a heartbreakingly personal resolution in the book's finale, but it would be a spoiler to tell you any more about that. Instead, let me pick out a few of the book's delights, those passages where you can not only imagine the dawn chorus surging around the globe, but penetrate imaginatively into the mysteries of the intersection of migration and our human sense of the seasons. Dee lives between England and South Africa, and he opens the book watching barn swallows at the winter solstice near Cape Town in sunshine. This disorientates him. Swallows are so closely associated with human dwellings that for many people, including Dee, their arrival and departure are the key heralds of spring and autumn. This is true of both Dee's home places, but the spring they herald in South Africa is the autumn in England, and vice versa. And because the English spring is the one they breed in, their presence on the Cape Peninsula causes Dee to lose his foothold on the map. He instinctively thinks of England as the swallow's home, but realises that the swallows were where they should be in December, as at home as they could be anywhere. But at that moment, I couldn't see them as anything but away. This kind of telling interplay between the human sense of time and the seasonal realities of the natural world figures in increasingly complex ways throughout the book. He writes of watching a long-tailed skua in Norway, having earlier observed one on the Black Sea. He imagines it's the same bird. Here I was at the other end of the bird's journey. And yet, he continues, it wasn't an end, for there are none in nature. The bird told me that. And that was the best thing to know in the world. Dee toys with the striking idea that if you walked north from the Mediterranean to the Arctic at 4 kilometres an hour for 12 hours a day, starting at the winter solstice, you could always be walking where he most wants to be, the very start of spring, for 6 entire months. While he does not attempt this feat himself, he does shoot all over the map in springtime, frequently reminding us that a bird we see, for example, nesting in Scandinavia's late and cool spring, may have crossed the blazing Sahara only a week earlier. Multiply this by 100 species, from woodcocks to ring ousels, from warblers to his outright favourite bird, the redstart, and multiply them by 100 contexts. Then associate these with musings on writers ranging from D.H. Lawrence to Seamus Heaney, and from Shakespeare to Elizabeth Bishop via Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Then you may have some idea of the rich feast that awaits you in this book. And if you digest it slowly enough, whatever age you are, I think you will come to a point where you grasp what Dee means when he writes that spring means more to me with every year that passes and takes me deeper into my own autumn.
Paddy Woodworth there, offering the consolations of Tim Dee's Greenery, Journeys in Springtime, as his latest suggestion for that groaning piece of imaginary furniture we call the Naturalist Bookshelf.